This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
25 years ago, Beavis and Butthead knew best. We were playing Minesweeper to avoid work, and we couldn't get enough of Taylor Dane's Love Baby. Throughout it all, Joy was there for the ride, and we have you to thank for it. Support us this Radiothon. Become a member. Head to joy.org.au or call 1300-JOY-949 now. Joy, 25 years proud.
This is the Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Now, here is the Glow Show.
Hello and welcome to the Glow Show podcast. My name's Dee Mason. I'm joined in the studio by Gabby Tyack, LGBTI liaison with Victoria Police. Welcome, Gabby.
Thanks. There are so many people in here, it's going to take me forever to write the description for the episode.
Well, let's not make it all about you.
Why?
Also from Victoria Police, of course, we have Dinesh Netta. Welcome, Dinesh.
How do you do?
Tell us what your role, Victoria Police, quickly.
So I'm a multicultural liaison officer, and basically we work with different multicultural communities. We exchange information, but a lot of our work is actually educating new and emerging communities about the role of police and things like
that. Is your second hat as a glow?
Yes,
yes.
I've got a second hat as a glow as
well. I would live with that.
I've done the glow train.
Yes. Yep.
Next to you, Dani Houseman, who's not able to wear the uniform. It's still sad, but it's true. What is your role at Victoria Police?
Yeah, no, my role doesn't involve wearing the uniform. I'm the Senior Portfolio Manager at Victoria Police, and I'm a public servant within Victoria Police, not a uniform member. So I don't get to wear the smart blues and I don't get to carry the gun.
You get the lanyard and that's enough.
I do. I get a lanyard. Enough. And it's got lots of amazing rainbow badges on it, so it's not too bad.
And she's a glow.
I'm a glow. Yeah, obviously.
Beck Lawther is next to you, and she is a leading senior constable, as is Gabby Tyack, and she is wearing the uniform. Welcome, Beck.
Thank you so much. And yes, I am wearing the uniform quite smartly, if I do so myself.
Where are you stationed and what do you
Melbourne
do?
Highway Patrol is where I work from, so you may not wish to see me out on the road, or you may wish to see me out on the road, depending on your circumstances.
Unrelated to this podcast, what is the number one offence in on the highway?
Using your mobile phone whilst driving.
Oh, that was me, sorry. Next to you is Will Lanting, Joy's own Will Lanting, who is, we have agreed in the studio, the number one podcaster of the Glow Show since its inception last year. Is that true, Will?
Well, yeah, I sort of edged my way into this and grabbed it with both hands and loving every second of it. So
now, of course, today is the 1 year anniversary of the Glow Show podcast.
Yeah.
And a lot of it is actually, I mean, we've got a lot to thank you for, but of course, the lovely Jason Gibbs, who is sitting beside me and we're sharing a microphone. Come here.
It's good to be awkwardly close to you, Dee.
Jason Gibbs is, of course, production manager at Joy and responsible for the creation of this here podcast that you're listening to. Is it true that this might be your last Glow Show podcast?
No.
I think there might be a chance I'll be back next month, but definitely, yeah, I'll be wrapping up soon.
We'll speak to management about that. The Glow Show, originally, it had its inception at Joy 94.9 back in the day. I think it was 2009. And you were part of the inception team, no, Gabby?
And Paul. Well, Paul Anthony.
Paul Anthony was your host.
Was the one who invented the Glow Show. That's came up right. with the idea he wanted Glows and Victoria Police on Joy.
We used to have a live radio show, Gabby.
We did.
On Joy, and then I guess it went for 4 or 5 years and then...
It did, and it was a weekly show, an hour-long weekly show, and it was a lot of work, and it hurt my brain. And so we then went on hiatus for a couple of years, and then Jason came back and said, we want you back.
You're very welcome, Gabby.
Thank you.
It's good to have you here.
Why did we do that, Jason? Was the relationship between Victoria Police and the community suffering in some way?
No, I don't think it really was. But I guess we were getting very savvy with our podcast service at Joy. We were getting to the point where a lot of our on-air content was being made available later, but we wanted to get into a podcast-only space. I guess my biggest downfall at Joy over the years has been going away on a holiday and having time to relax, but then thinking about all the fun things that I could do when I get back. So I really wanted to push podcast-only content. And one of the reasons why I thought it was good to get the Glow Show onto podcast was because over 4 years of it being away from Joy, so many people would constantly come up almost on the weekly and say, I used to listen to the Glow Show. Where are the Vic Police? What's going on? Is that ever going to come back? So it seemed like a bit of a no-brainer, right, Gabby?
Yeah. I mean, we were represented on live to air shows regularly, various different shows throughout the week. But just to have the Glow Show back, to have full-on police content, people really wanted it. I mean, we would go out to events and people would say the same thing to us. Oh, where's the Glow Show? We remember it. We love it.
And I think from my perspective, it's fascinating how many young people in the community have no idea what an LGBTI liaison officer is. They don't know what the Glows are or the history of the Glows. Mm. They don't know they can walk through the doors of a police station and get that support. And more often than not, I'm assuming they would avoid telling people if there was a problem because they would think that perhaps the police wouldn't understand their needs. And that's contrary to the truth of the situation.
Yeah. And the whole point of the Glow Show was to humanize the police, that we're not just people in a blue uniform. And when we started, it was a different blue uniform. It was the light blue. But I mean, it was basically to show everyone that we're just people just like them. We put our uniform on every day, but we're approachable. We wanted to humanize all the police that came in here, and we interviewed from a recruit up to the chief commissioner.
Yep. Dani Houseman, I'll put this to you. Back in the day when the Glow Show would have come onto the air, back in 2009, I think the biggest issue between the LGBTIQ community and the police was the issue of the community not trusting police. But I guess that now that there's a much deeper issue in policing in Victoria, like I think the perception of police has certainly improved, and maybe a lot of it's due to shows like this. But there's issues deeper, like we were talking before we went on about multicultural issues and issues to do with aging, and our community has so many more issues than just, you know, gays and cops and fights and the issue of Mardi Gras and things like that. What do you think the role of this program and the relationship between the community and police is?
I think it's, like Gabby said, I think it's very much just about humanising the police. In my role as the seniors portfolio manager, one of the things that we find working with a lot of older people is that they will, unlike a lot of LGBTI community members, inherently trust and do anything the police say because of the uniform, but not question it because they see the uniform, not the person. And so they're scared not of doing something wrong, but there's a slightly sort of, I think, sometimes different fear around not doing what the authority tells you to do and maybe getting into trouble for that. And so any efforts that we can go to and any engagement that we can have with all community members, trying to get them to understand that, as Gab said, all police are people. And this is their job. They put on a uniform. Absolutely, they do have particular powers and authority in certain situations. That is the role of police. But we need to be able to engage with community, and we need community to be able to engage with us to help us do our job properly.
I want to ask Beck Lawther, and it's not even pertinent to this, stickers on cars, what's the most... What's the most likely thing to get you pulled off?
I was just completely profound there, and D goes to stickers on cars.
Because I was thinking... Are you more or less likely to get booked if you've got a rainbow sticker by Victoria Police?
Get booked? No, not at all. I don't even think, well, I remember when I first got my license, if you're in the gay community, everyone had rainbow stickers on the back of their cars. I think it's sort of gone out of fashion a little bit
now. Yeah, it has.
But no, the only sticker that's probably going to get you pulled over is one that says something like "Get in, sit down, shut up, and hang on." Yeah, that's so, probably going to get my attention.
If the popo.
Yeah,
yeah.
You like a blue ribbon or a gay sticker or anything like that is not going. No, I don't
it's not
really
help
care.
If you're touching
no,
your phone.
No,
so
it's
what
not.
Is you're a Glow also, but what is a day of play? You're in a vehicle, you assume.
Mm-hmm.
So do you get to interact with the community, or is it you're just picking up whoever you?
My interactions are dealt really by people committing offences, not specifically by people in the community, although they are also offenders as well. But I do cover the City of Melbourne and the City of Yarra. So obviously the City of Yarra has quite a high LGBTI community. So I do have quite a few interactions with the community in that area. Some are positive and some are negative. In fact, I had a friend question me the other day who got pulled over by a divisional van and felt rather uncomfortable. She's transgender and thought that she was being pulled over specifically because she was transgender, and there may have been a license photo that was different to the way she looked now, and how to manage that, and was she being specifically targeted? And my answer to that is that's not the case. If anything, if a license photo doesn't match the person that's driving, we'll check and make sure the car's not stolen or something like that. I think we've moved on from that sort of targeted policing that may have been the case many, many years ago.
At academy level, presumably, this is all part of the curriculum.
Mm.
So do you receive training in things like people not presenting with the gender that there is on their license?
Yeah, and I think, well, Gabby can answer that better than I can, but I have recruits come out and spend a couple of weeks with me at the office as part of their on-the-job training, and that's certainly something that I bring up as well, working in the area that we work in. And that is that you're dealing with an individual in each circumstance. And it's okay to ask questions if you have an issue with identity, because I need to identify the person that I'm dealing with in order to make sure that I'm dealing with the correct person. Because obviously people give us false details all the time. So it's about being sensitive to issues, but also other people understand that we've got a job to do as well.
Is there any truth to the rumour that's been going around for a long time now that lesbians are the best drivers?
We're excellent drivers, yeah. I'm sure there's studies have shown that to be the case.
Yeah.
And obviously when you apply for your license and you tick the lesbian box, you automatically get extra demerit points. So, or what I like to call merit points.
Is it true that the bi's drive on both sides of the road?
That's it.
Did you know only 0.4% of our 396,000 monthly Joy listeners support us financially? If you love what we do, please show your support this Radiothon. Allies, there's a new way to show your love. Did you vote yes for marriage equality? Continue to show your support for the LGBTI community. Become an out loud ally of Joy. Receive bragging rights and a pack of Joy Out Loud Ally badges to wear proudly. Head to joy.org.au and click the Ally button on the homepage.
I wanted to talk about the fact that Joy is about to hit 25 years, which is exciting.
Mm.
Our Radiothon is on at the moment, and we are excited because, as you guys all know, Joy runs on membership and donations. So we've been doing this for 25 years based on this, and I just wanted to go around the table and find out where everybody was. Dinesh, he's got it. I can see. Dinesh, were you – well, obviously you were born.
Absolutely.
It takes longer than 25 years to lose all your hair.
I've been with the police force for 20 years now.
Right.
But 25 years ago, I was working for cinemas out at Knox.
You're the popcorn guy?
No, we did everything at that stage, behind the ticket box, ushering people, and also we were trained up as a projectionist as well.
But that raises an interesting point for me with recruitment of police officers, which is it's not a disadvantage to have had another career before you turned to policing.
Absolutely not. And, you know, like even my squad 20 years ago, they came from vastly different backgrounds, different work. You know, we had mechanics, we had butchers, we had teachers. Mm. We had ex-PSOs. It was a great cross-section.
I met a guy last week who, at 55, left his job as a high school principal and became a uniformed police officer. And his manager or whoever, his boss, was saying, never seen anything like it. Like, kids that they've been trying to, you know, I want to use a word that doesn't sound forceful.
Assist.
Yeah, I knew a cop would have it. Yeah. Assist. They've been trying to assist these children for years, and this guy just comes out and they're like, right. So, yeah, I guess having a broader experience.
Yeah. And I think that's what they look for even in recruiting now. I know not a lot of people in my squad were 18 or 19. There was only about three. The average age now is about 29, I think, for joining the police
Less,
force.
Less of career cops and more of people that have a broader experience. Dani, what were you doing 25 years ago?
25 years ago, I was having a gap year after finishing high school working on a kibbutz in Israel.
Okay. You win.
She's still being profound.
I wasn't even trying.
Learning your policing skills on a kibbutz in Israel. You will do the washing up.
I scored one of the better jobs because I speak some Hebrew. I got to look after the three-year-old kids.
Oh, there you go.
So I basically got to go and play and have fun all day.
Note to self, learn Hebrew. Got that. Beck Lawther. I don't even want to know. You were in primary school, obviously.
I was in grade 6.
Uh-huh.
Trying to come up with different ways to take over the world.
Okay, and did you think policing was the way?
Well, it's funny you should ask that because you have the end of year book, you know, with your picture and what you're going to do. I actually said I want to be a member of the SWAT team. I had idea what SWAT meant. No idea.
Something
I felt like under pressure. What do you want to do when you finish primary school, high school? What do you want to do for the rest of your life? I want to be a member of the SWAT team.
Right.
My mother was mortified.
Right.
Mm.
And
look at you now. And I am not a member of the SWAT team because we don't have one. We have the SOG, but I'm not for me.
But you knew some level of policing.
I think
you think in uniform early on.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think I was. I joined when I was 22 and I was the youngest in my squad then, but I did a plethora of other things. I was a qualified music teacher before I joined the police force, so that's what I did before I...
Have you done police band?
I have not done police band.
I love your police band.
No, actually, they're looking for a singer at the moment.
There you go.
They advertised today.
Do you have to be uniformed to sing?
I think so.
Sorry, Dani, you're out.
I think so. We can have a sing-off if you like for the 50th episode.
All the members of the Victoria Police Pipe Band are public service members.
Yeah.
So are they?
Yeah, I'm not sure what sort of singing they're after, and I'm not sure whether or not I'm going to put my hand up.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking, Beck?
I probably am not.
Which is sort of the voice
Oh,
for comps.
Yeah. Great idea.
I was thinking that.
Called, are we having a
called,
turning?
Wait for it. The Vice. Oh, this is The Vice.
Yeah.
I like it.
I love it.
Will Lanting, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do and where were you 25 years ago?
I was actually, doing what I was doing right now. Actually, I just picked up my license as an engineer with Ansett, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. I was a 737 engine Lamy first, and that was 93. That was my first year doing that.
You can pronounce it Lamy all you like, but it's lame, isn't it?
It's lame, yeah.
And do we need to just qualify for the younger listeners? Explain Ansett. What Ansett was.
Oh, yes, I know. And God, that was 15, nearly 20 years ago when that collapsed, 2001. Yeah, and there was three airlines in Australia. So we had Qantas, which was the main international airline. We had Australian Airlines, which was also the government domestic airline. And we had Ansett Australia, which was a private domestic airline. And Australian Airlines and Qantas merged to become one domestic and international airline, as we know as Qantas today. And Ansett was a standalone private airline, which collapsed in 2001. So Virgin came along to replace that void after that. Yeah.
Will's eyes lit up like a Christmas tree when you asked him that question. He's like, oh, I've been
That's what you go on holidays on.
How does a plane work, Will?
Don't start me.
Gabby Tighe, I know that you've got your 25-year story.
I do.
Go on.
Well, I was working at a local pub in Sydney, but in that year, I think, was when Madonna was touring. So I was doing...
Is that the girly tour? I think it was.
Yes.
Yeah.
The girly show.
Girly show. Got the girly show. Yeah.
You're working in a pub in 93. We got some questions about
No, it was 1993.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was here.
How young do you think I am?
Weren't you 13 then?
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, so I was doing a bit of following Madonna. I will use the word following, not what other people might call it.
Stalking.
No, not that. But I was camped outside her hotel in Double Bay.
Yeah, no, that's stalking in every state of Victoria.
I was the well-behaved person. Like, they were rocking her car and I was going, don't do that.
I don't think that makes a difference, though, when it comes to stalking.
She didn't mind.
What's the statute of limitations on stalking in Victoria?
It's all right. That was in New South Wales. She'll be fine.
That's what I was doing.
Oh, I've got a feeling that Jason Gipps was working here 25 years ago. Is that right?
Actually, Dylan's been taking school groups around lately in the office, telling them that I've been here for 26 years and we're about to celebrate our 25 years at Joy. So. But it does feel like that sometimes, I must say. I think I look back to 1993 and I would have been in my own police uniform because I had a really cool ex-police jacket as a scout.
I was going to say, were you a stripper?
No. Well, hopefully not because I was only 10 years old.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Okay, no.
But no, yeah, it was really cool. First Nowry Scouts, and the police were always very supportive of us. And yeah, they gave us their old police jackets. So I used to walk around very proudly in my police jacket. Yeah. One of the nice big blue, overcoat type things.
We can't be your voice without your support. Sign up, renew or extend your membership this radiothon. Head to joy.org.au or call 1300-JOY-949 now. Joy, 25 years proud.
It is the 25-year anniversary of Joy on Air, but it's also a one-year anniversary for the Glow Show podcast, which has been in this form for, we think, 50 episodes.
Almost. I think the very next one.
Balloons will drop from the ceiling.
Might be 50.
And maybe some confetti or something as well.
I think we've outlawed confetti.
Oh, okay.
Or is it glitter?
Glitter.
Yeah, it is glitter.
You can't outlaw glitter.
That'll be the end of the gay community, as we know it. What has been everybody's favourite Glow Show episode? Or one memorable?
I really enjoyed interviewing, and I think it was with you, Laura Bailey, who's the AFLW player.
That was a good podcast. That was
so
fun.
So she was working in family violence. She's also a GLOW. She's a police officer, and she plays for Western Bulldogs, AFLW. So, I mean, big supporter of the women's football. And
It was a really good episode because it showed to me that people talk about, you know, there's so many corporates out there saying, gay, 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 and Ida Hobbit, and we're doing all this, and we're purple today, and all that. But they're not really supporting, well, to my mind, not really walking the walk, you know, and supporting their employees through their life choices and what they really want to do. But Victoria Police has absolutely supported her through her football career and given it her. And also in terms of parenting and co-parenting, and we did that great one on gay marriage. Two of your police officers got married to each other.
Yes, they did.
I'm
that was
not,
a great one too.
I'm not entirely convinced that they didn't hook up on the job, but I'm not They did say that they didn't, so we'll take their word for it.
Well, I mean, they met on the job.
So let's just leave it there. Yeah. Dani, have you got one that you were involved in that you thought was particularly...
Well, I do, and I have to say I'm a little bit biased because it relates to the work I do with older people. But we did one last year for World Elder Abuse Awareness Day, and I thought for me it was great, not because the content is great in terms of we don't like elder abuse, we like raising awareness, but around the crossover and just recognising that there are older members of the LGBTI community and some of them actually do experience abuse and difficulties.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really important to raise awareness of that whenever we can and how we can try and address that.
And the thing I learnt from that one is not that people abuse elder people like in the street, which is, you know, what you think, but that you can receive elder abuse from your own families.
Absolutely.
Which was shocking to me. And also that people feel the need to hide their sexuality later in life when they return back to care.
Absolutely.
Which is a horrific thing for me. So, yeah, that was a really valuable one. All these podcasts, of course, are available to listen back to. They're all still live, aren't they, Jason Gibbs?
Yeah, I mean, quite simply, you can just go to the front page of the Joy website. So head to joy.org.au and go down to the search field and type Glow Show and the subject that we are speaking of, and you should find it.
And they're also available on that Apple website, iTunes. Will Lanting, you've been responsible, we think, for perhaps, I don't know, 25 of these podcast episodes.
Yeah, I've definitely lost count with them. I have three that sort of stand out to me. The first one I did, the Air Wing, was kind of special, and the first one I ever did, finding my feet with that.
You're a plane nerd? Or?
Yeah, because I'm a plane nerd, and it sort of made it easy for me, and I was a new kid on the block here, and it was just kind of natural. It gave me something to leverage off, so that was really good to start off and kick off this whole venture with. I certainly love my Highway Patrol, and I've really grabbed that and embraced it, and we're evolving that into a regular segment, and we have some real good fun and some good information. So I love every Highway Patrol I do with Beck and Gabby.
Do you think any part of that, just talking about the relationship between your favourite podcast and the gay community, the fact that one of the YMCA members was a Highway Patrolman, has that influenced your love of the Highway Patrol?
Absolutely not.
That's right.
But I think one of the ones that it really stands out is Gabby said to me, we're going to be doing the Assistant Chief Commissioner on Workplace Bullying, and make sure you do your homework. This is a really important one, except that what I normally do is I come in an hour early and do my preparation and read up. But the problem was Gabby stuffed up the time. And
what? Me?
What?
And I came in, as she said, good, let's go. So I had like zero time to prepare. And I go, oh, no. But look, it worked out really, really well, and it was a quite a good episode.
I just never rock up and underprepared for one of these things.
No, and look, that's the important.
Little
seems rude.
Never, no.
What's your name again?
But it's look, it's really important. The whole concept of the Glow Show is really important to me, and so I always try and put a bit of effort into doing the research and laying out the best and what I can. And obviously, you go with the flow of a show. The things that get mentioned and they come up, and you make little notes and you surf off them, and it just makes a great show.
Absolutely true, Will. Sometimes I've researched for these shows and you come in and you think, I know where this is going because this is the topic that we've got. But then somebody like Dani will say something about elder abuse, or somebody will say something about the Highway Patrol, and that just takes you on a tangent, and you find out more about the force than you are.
And it's good to just go with it, and it's fabulous. It's interesting what you find out about things, and some of the things that I've got out of it personally, which has been fantastic. You know, just we were talking about on one of our recordings about the use of mobile phones. You know, I thought, what can be harmful about doing that? And discussing it with the girls, it was amazing. Some of the simple things that you think are innocuous can be quite deadly and dangerous and have happened. So now my phone sits in the glove box.
Beck, how many of these have you done?
Oh, I think four.
All on Highway Patrol?
All on Highway Patrol. Five.
The marching one.
Oh, yeah, that's right. For Highway Patrol. And if I'm going to be completely narcissistic, my favourite podcast was talking about Pride March and 15 years of being Pride March leader. And the reason that
I did not realise that we had the Pride March leader in the...
Surprise.
Right.
What? Multifaceted.
Yes.
The reason I love that podcast so much was that it gave me an opportunity to think back on what it was like 15 years ago when we only had like 17 members marching, and now 140 members marching 15 years later. And just the whole change of the attitude, not just the department, but the community and the media as well.
Mm.
So when I did my first Pride March, which was 2004, the media behind that was not necessarily positive. It was
that Commissioner Nixon then?
That's right, yeah. So it was a bit controversial about members getting paid to do it, about who was involved in it, about what we were going to wear, and are we going to march properly and et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And so to see that now changing from almost, it's not really news anymore. It's just Victoria Police participate in Pride March and that is how it is.
And you cannot buy that PR. You couldn't. If you actually wanted to go out and say, get me a million hits on Facebook and buy me that much goodwill, you couldn't do it.
No, you can't.
Sorry, not you, Will.
And it's just great to be able to sit back and see. It's 15 years can be a short or a long time depending on how you look at it, but it's my career. And to be able to see such an amazing change in that period of time through our community. And by our community, I also mean LGBTI in Victoria Police and how we're accepted now and it's not such an issue is amazing, historical thing for me to be a part of and super proud of it. And that was probably the best podcast for me.
Yeah.
So out of the five shows you've done, who's your favourite presenter?
Oh, well, now that I've had D. Awkward.
I hear this a lot. We must send a shout out to the very lovely Andy McCutcheon, who's a podcaster. And I think he's podcasted this entire season of the Glow Show podcast. So big thanks to Andy. He does an amazing job.
And he makes us sound really smart.
Does he, though? No, he does. He
does a great job.
He'll edit that bit out so that you sound smart. So big thanks to Andy. Now, of course, we do love to put these podcasts out and they are for absolutely free on the Joy website and on the iTunes store. But of course, it is a big part of what Joy wants to do is provide free content. And how's the best way to support that, Jason?
Well, there's two main parts. We are seeking people to become a member or renew their membership. You can do that via phone, 1300-JOY-949, or you can go to joy.org.au and click on the membership link. Members get to have a say in how Joy is run. You are, you know, a member of a amazing LGBTI community organization, but donations also help. They are tax deductible and it's a great way to fix up your tax to pay a little bit less and support a good cause before June 30. But look, I would really like to push the fact that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And this is just one little example of what Joy does in a service that we provide to our community. Think of the amazing things that the police are doing for our community. Think of the ways that we can promote that to you and where the police and the Glows would be without this avenue, because without it, it would be probably a little bit harder to get the word out, right, Gab?
We love our relationship with Joy. Victoria Police really values it, and we've been working with you pretty much on a full-time basis, like weekly, for a number of years. And from the beginning of Joy, I know Victoria Police and the Glows have had an input. So we can get our message out to the community in a way that we never had before. So it's very valuable.
Partnerships in our community are vital, Dee. I think Joy will be stronger with great partnerships like we have with the Victoria Police. And this is just one example of how it can be. And I think there's a huge potential to have partnerships just like it with other parts of the community. So everyone watch this space and then join in on the fun, I think.
Thanks, Jason Gipps, and thank you for your work, tireless work, with the Glow Show podcast over the year. Remember that if you have a question for Gabby or any of the other Glows, you can email theglowshow@joy.org.au. You can also catch up with the podcast at joy.org.au/theglowshow. I've been Dee Mason. I want to thank everybody that is in the room, Gabby Tayak, Will Lanting, Beck Lowther, Danny Houseman, and Dinesh Netta, and of course, Jason Gipps. A special thanks to you, Gabby. It's been an amazing year, and especially to Will Lanting, who's put in the extra yards to make some of these podcasts some of the best content on the Joy website and an award-winning podcast for Joy.
And so many people involved. So many police involved, so many unsworn members and so many Joy volunteers.
Round of applause for all of us.
Okay, Will, you're my favourite.
You've been listening to The Vic Police Glow Show, exclusive to Joy Podcast, presented by Vic Police LGBTI liaison officers and a range of Joy presenters. Head to joy.org.au/The Glow Show to find more episodes or search Joy 94.9 Glow Show on iTunes. Subscribe so you never miss an episode. Rate and review if you like what you hear.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.